Dawn will read for us. Thank you, Dawn.
Our reading today is from Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 13, and you can find that on page 1061 of your church Bibles. So that's Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And the beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus recognized them when he broke the bread. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Dawn. Now we invite Liz to come and teach us on it.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you're not suffering with hay fever like I am. If I sneeze or keep blowing my nose, please forgive me. And if my eyes stream too much, I might be able to read this anyway. So let's pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for bringing us here today to worship you, to praise you, and to listen to your word. Please, dear Lord, guide our understanding of your Bible, that we may know your scriptures, and through them become closer to you and the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Right. I can't see any new faces, but if anyone is new to Cornerstone today and you don't know who I am, my name's Les Brock, and I'm one of the elders. And I'm going to try to unpack this passage you just heard Dawn read to us. It's a wonderful passage. It's a story of the road to Emmaus. And it's one of the most tender and mysterious and deeply human resurrection narratives of all the scriptures. There's an awful lot in it that is very difficult to understand. Mike told us last week that the apostles, And I guess many of the disciples as well that were with them were confused at the empty tomb. He said that many of them didn't believe that Jesus had been raised from the dead, which is what Jesus had told them before he died that it was going to happen. Today's passage moves away from the empty tomb, and we've moved to this road to Emmaus. It's got these two weary travellers, and they're weighed down by all the confusion and disappointment and everything that's happened over the last 3 days. They were heartbroken. This man, this wonderful man that they'd been following, possibly for 3 years, they thought would be the saviour of the Jewish race, of the human race, and he was dead. Although Jesus told him previously that he'd rise again after 3 days, all they saw him was that he died on the cross, and they didn't see him rise again. He didn't come back to them. I don't know what they expected. It's a really difficult thing to understand. Our passage begins, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. 7 miles, it's a long walk, a couple of hours, 3 hours, especially for hearts that are burdened with grief. They must have been so sad, so desolate. These two disciples are leaving Jerusalem, a place where hope had seemed so alive just a few days before. Now it was gone. And they'd believed Jesus was the one that would redeem Israel. And now they didn't think he would. They'd seen his miracles, they'd heard his teaching, they felt the power of his presence. But now all they could see was that everything had collapsed, everything was gone, all they'd hoped for had disappeared. The passage continues with verses 15 and 16. It says, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. They didn't recognize him. They were kept from recognizing him. I'm going to show you some pictures. Here's the first one. Does anybody know who that is? You can shout out if you want to. Didn't hear. Yes, you know it, don't you? How about the second one? My hero, wonderful man, Winston S. Churchill. Third one, he's another hero of mine as well. That's our dear King. Fourth one, anyone know? Yeah.
You know who it is, Les.
I know it is, yeah. I can't say she's one of my favourite singers, but I do know who she is. But then I'm not a young person, am I? Next one. James Bond. Next one. Yeah, another one of my heroes. He died on the 3rd of February 1959, and I was in school in the playground, and I cried my eyes out. There you are.
Jacob Newman.
Can you sing? No. Right, last one. Does anybody know who that is? Bless their hearts. And look at that tiny little baby in the corner. And there he is over there. That's our dear Walton family. Thank you so much. Now, we recognised all those, didn't we? We weren't kept from recognising them. They were easy. On the Emmaus Road, we're told that these two men were kept from recognising Jesus. They would have recognised Jesus just as easily as we recognise those people there. They'd been with him for 3 years. They'd been following all that time. I started work in the money markets in 1966. I was a money broker in the foreign exchange market. And I worked there until 1986. I did 20 years in the money markets. And from 1986, when I left the money markets, I didn't leave. I became a personnel, I opened a personnel department in one of my previous companies, and I became personnel director. So I gamekeeper turned, poacher turned gamekeeper, if you like. So I was trying to control all these money brokers. The thing is, the turnover of staff in money broking offices is phenomenal. I worked in those 20 years, I worked for 5 different broking houses altogether. The company which I was personnel director, I worked for 15 years. And in that company alone, which was one of the largest companies, we had 3,500 people worldwide, and we had 1,000 people in London. But of that 1,000 people in London, we used to turn over nearly 250, quarter of them, 25% every year. One year we turned over nearly 500 people, nearly 50% of our staff had gone. That wasn't because we were a bad company, that's what happened in the money markets. Brokers changed from broking company to broking company. Dealers in the banks and traders turned to broking companies and became brokers. It didn't often happen the other way around. But there was such a fluid movement between these markets. And you can guess that over those 35 years, I've worked with thousands of people, loads and loads and loads of them. When I was a personnel director, I'd walk along the corridors of the company and someone would leap out and grab me like a long lost friend. Liz, how are you? Been so long, great to see you. I'm back. And I didn't have a clue who they were. I'd work with them either at that company, one of the other companies. They could have even been one of my clients in one of the banks who'd come to join us at the broking company. But I didn't know them. I didn't recognise them. I wasn't kept from recognising them. I'm just not very good at recognising. I do recognise faces. I'm no good with names. And at the beginning of our passage, we're told, now this same day, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And they talked and discussed these things with others. And Jesus himself came and walked along with them. That's wonderful, isn't it? Jesus walked with them, but they were kept from recognising. They were kept from recognising him. Unlike me at work, they would have recognised him straight away. But they weren't, they couldn't. They were kept from recognising him. Why? Why were they kept from recognising him? Jesus has been around for so long, they've been around Jesus all that time. We can only guess, but probably all of his ministry, all those 3 years. It was the Sunday of the resurrection, it was the same day, and it was the two of them. Which two? We know they weren't one of the 11 because we're told that one of them was called Cleopas. Previous verses, chapter 24, Mike told us last week, it says that they found the empty tomb, Mary Magdalene found the empty tomb with Joanna and Mary and the other James, and they told all these things to the other 11, the 11 others. These people weren't part of those 11 apostles, they were part of the disciples. We don't know the other guy's name. You recognise all those faces, and I recognise some of my old colleagues. They weren't faces you see every day, but we got them straight away. They saw Jesus every day and they didn't recognize him at all. This is really confusing. In John 20, we're told that Mary Magdalene didn't recognize Jesus. After finding him gone from the tomb, she goes outside weeping. And it says in 15 and 16, he asked her, woman, there we are, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned to him and cried in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Mary didn't recognize him immediately. And we're also told in John of a few more appearances by Jesus, where he appears to them in locked rooms without Thomas. And then a week later, he appears to them with Thomas. They all recognized him that time. They weren't kept from recognizing him. In John 21, he appeared again, and some of his disciples were on the Sea of Tiberias. And in verse 3, it says, so they went out and got into a boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize it was Jesus. He called to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said, Peter, it's the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him, "Say, it's the Lord." He wrapped his outer garment round him, for he'd taken it off, and jumped in the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into his boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to him, and did the same with the fish. That was the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he'd been raised from the dead. So they didn't know Jesus either, not straight away. In Mary's case, she could have been a little away from Jesus. She'd been crying. And perhaps that's why she didn't recognize him. We're not told. But to be honest, you recognize people hundreds of yards down the road. You know them. If they're friends of yours, you know them straight away. These people out on the sea, they were in the boat. It says a few hundred yards from shore. They would have recognized Jesus, surely. But for some reason, they didn't. We don't know why. If we come back to our passage today, we're told that one of the disciples was called Cleopas, but we're not told who the other one was. Although they weren't from the 12 apostles, they were among the other disciples that Jesus had had. And we're told that they were with the others mentioned in chapter 9. The thing is, although we don't know who they were, they should have known Jesus. They'd been with him for 3 years. They should be able to recognize him from hundreds of yards away. They worshipped this guy. They loved this guy. He was the most wonderful teacher. He was inspiring. They didn't know him. They all knew him intimately, but they were kept from recognizing him. Why? That must have been God's work, mustn't it? It must have been God's work. Why? It was possibly so that Jesus could walk with them as a stranger and teach the meaning of the scriptures, teach about the Messiah, teach them about himself, and lead them to understanding before their recognition. It's still not really a good answer, is it? Jesus came alongside them, and as they're on their journey, they started to walk with him. Jesus could have done what perhaps you and I might have expected him to do and said, "Look, it's me, I'm alive. It's me, Jesus, cheer up, be happy again, I'm with you." He didn't. He started to teach them, and they still didn't recognize him. They'd been listening to him teaching for 3 years, and they still didn't recognize him teaching them. Jesus asked them what they were talking about. And although surprised that they didn't know, although they were surprised that he didn't know, of course he knew. He asked them because he wanted them to tell him. They explained what had been going on over the last 3 days. And they called Jesus, in fact, for verse 19, it's significant, a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. They called him a prophet. They still hadn't got it, had they? They still didn't understand that this was the Messiah. This was God. He was so much more than the prophet. Jesus was the Messiah, and they didn't remember that he told them that he'd rise from the dead. He told them before. He told the apostles that he'd rise from the dead. And I'm sure the apostles would have told the rest of the disciples as well. They were prevented from recognizing his face until Jesus was ready. Why it took that long, I don't know. You can almost imagine Jesus saying to them, you too need to understand what the Bible says before you know me. What he actually said is, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? He went through explaining all the scriptures had said about himself. And Jesus reminds him of what Moses and the prophets said about him. He might have referred to Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely, Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and his wounds were healed. Excuse me, a tick. Sorry. So after about 2 hours walking, during which the whole time Jesus was teaching the scriptures, Cleopas and his friend arrived at Emmaus, and they asked Jesus to stay. There's your thunderbolt moment. They started to eat. Jesus gave thanks to break the bread, and they recognized him. They knew who he was. They must have been overjoyed. They had Jesus. He was back. He had risen, and at last they could see it was him. And just as they realized who it was, he went. He disappeared. It didn't matter. They knew he was back. They knew he was alive. What do you think they'd have said? Verse 32, it says that they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" I'm sure they'd have said a little bit more than that. Fancy us not recognizing him. How could we have not known him? It was Jesus, but he's back, and that's all that matters. They said, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" Gosh, you had Jesus talking to you at your dinner table, your hearts would be doing a lot more than burning. Anyway, they were talking to Jesus. They felt a lot better after what happened. In fact, I'm sure they felt 100 million times better than they had done walking down that road. They gobbled down the rest of their meal and they dashed off back to Jerusalem. They didn't worry about, they must have said to Jesus when they tried to convince him to stay with them, "Don't forget it's dark, there's robbers out, it's a lonely road, there's no street lights." They forgot all about that and they went dashing back to the apostles and the other disciples to tell them what was happening. And the more I thought about it during my preparation for this talk, the more I sympathise with them. Although Jesus had been teaching them and telling them what would happen to him, it must have been very difficult to understand once it happened. This wonderful person had been teaching them, and then he said he was going to die, and then he said he was going to rise again. That doesn't happen in real life. That only happens with Jesus. It's outside our normal comprehension. It's this very, very special man. This unique man was hung on a cross in front of them, and he died. He had been alive, and he talked to them, and he was eating with them, but he died. We can almost say it's easier for us now because we've got an enormous amount of evidence and teaching for the last 2,000 years that proves to us that Jesus is alive. They didn't have that. They did remember afterwards with Jesus' help. John 2, 18-12 tells us, "Then Jesus said to them, 'What sign can you show us for doing this?' Jesus answered them, 'Destroy the temple and in 3 days I will raise it up.' The Jews then said, 'This temple has been under construction for 46 years and you will raise it up in 3 days.' But he wasn't speaking of that. He was speaking of the temple of his body, and he was raised from the dead." His disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scriptures and the word Jesus has spoken. And he was raised from the dead, and the disciples remembered this. They believed from the scriptures what had been spoken. The centurion got it right, didn't he? At the crucifixion, we were told that in Mark 5 and 39. It says, the centurion watched the crucifixion and he says, "Surely this man was the Son of God." He was the Son of God. And whenever I read that passage, it reminds me of a film that was on last Sunday, actually. The greatest story ever told. I don't know whether you saw it. But it's a great story. It's all about Jesus. But it's full of really famous actors and actresses, all taking tiny little cameo parts. They're on the screen for milliseconds. And one of the most famous actors in it is John Wayne. And he plays the part of the centurion. And I loved John Wayne. I thought he was great. But it's really incongruous when he stands there and in his Texas drawl, he said, "This man surely was the Son of God." That's a terrible accent, but that's what John Wayne says. And it really makes you laugh. You shouldn't be laughing because it's such a serious thing, but he sounds so funny. Never mind. Our passage today is lovely, isn't it? There's two very sad men brought to rejoicing because our dear Lord is back. No matter what happens to us, we should be doing that same rejoicing. We should be pleased that our dear Lord is back. He came back to save us. Sometimes, just like Cleopas and his friend, we don't recognize that Jesus is walking alongside us. Sometimes when we're happy and lovely things are happening, we don't even think of Jesus. We don't recognize Jesus at all. We don't recognize Jesus. We're giving up, he's given us good gifts. He's given us moments of joy. He's given us laughter and happiness. And sometimes when we're sad and life's really difficult, we don't realize that Jesus is beside us on the journey. He's walking in step, he's supporting us, he's helping us. And sometimes when they're talking about how they coped at the challenging time, people say, "I just don't know how I got the strength to do it." Well, I know how they got the strength to do it, because Jesus helped them. Jesus was beside them all along. You know, I'm going to finish off with a poem that I'm sure you've heard before. It's called Footprints in the Sand. And it chokes me up. It's by Mary Stevenson. And it says, "One night I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints, other times there were only one. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering anguish, sorrow and defeat, I could see only one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, 'You promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I noticed that during those most trying periods of my life, there was only one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you most, have you not been there for me?' The Lord replied, 'The years when you have seen only one set of footprints, my child, is when I carried you.'" Jesus carries us the whole time. We don't realize he's there sometimes, guiding us, teaching us. We don't recognize him. We don't recognize that God, he is God's only son. That God so loved us that he gave his only son that we should be forgiven. Jesus is on that journey with you, whether you recognize him or not. I know there are people here today that have recognized him and know Jesus, and there may be people here today that don't yet know him and they're almost there. But don't be mistaken, whether you know him or not, he's with you. He's there the whole time. Times of happiness, the times of difficulty. And you will know that he's been with you all along. You may not always remember he's with you, but Jesus walks with you every day of your life, every moment, even if you don't recognize him. So thanks, say thank you to Jesus for walking on our journey with us. And please help us to walk in step with him and to know him as our friend and saviour forever. May everything you do be in his name, and everything you do show you love and worship him. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for being with us all the days of our life. Thank you for guiding us and helping us in all that we do. Please, dear Lord, let everything that we do be for your glory. Let all that we do show others that we are Christians and that we love you and follow you, dear Lord. Please, Lord, let those that have not recognized you yet find you, love you, worship you, and walk with you all their lives. Dear Lord, thank you for sending your Son, our dear Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us and rise again to be the propitiation for our sins, so that we may have the eternal salvation with you. Thank you for your grace and mercy. In your Son Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.